listening to this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service, also known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Glamour and Teen Vogue online articles. We have to get started with Sunday's Oscars. Starting off with Oscars 2020, the best dressed stars on the red carpet. Hollywood's biggest night didn't disappoint in the style department. Award season came to a glamorous conclusion on February 9th with the 2020 Oscars. While the nominations weren't as diverse as we would have liked, the style of the stars who attended did not disappoint. Granted, the fashion we saw on this carpet was safer and more straightforward than the Grammys and Golden Globes, but it still felt special. This is Hollywood's biggest night, after all. The stars have to bring their A-game. Well, the female stars have to, at least. Men just wear the same black tuxes and get away with it, but that's a rant for a later time. Some of my favorites from Sunday nights included January's cover star Margot Robbie, Natalie Portman, and Cynthia Erivo, but they weren't the only ones who owned the night. Other Oscar 2020 Best Dressed celebrities on the red carpet were Margot Robbie. The Oscars red carpet is all about glamour, and Margot channels that perfectly with a romantic Chanel dress and red lip. Regina King. Bow down to the king. That's Regina King. She looked absolutely royal in a Versace gown. And her Oscar Best Dress, and she was on the Oscar Best Dress list this year as well as last year. Brie Larson, the cape, the leg. This Celine dress is a complete dream of Brie Larson. Billie Eilish has a signature style, and we appreciate her for staying true to that no matter the occasion. Her white Chanel suit is on brand for the Grammy Award winning singer while still feeling luxe enough for a black tie event. Janelle Monáe owns every red carpet she steps foot on, but her silver Ralph Lauren dress felt like a defining style moment for the star and for the ages. Florence Pugh, the Little Women actor, looks modern and cool in a Louis Vuitton dress that is a stunner in teal as the color. Cynthia Erivo, real style star this award season, and she capped it off with a gorgeous Versace gown, and she was beautiful as she sung Stand, one of the nominated songs of the year. Renee Zellweger, as we know, won the Oscar for Actress, Best Actress, and Renee wore a white Armani Privé dress in minimalism at its best. And we cannot forget about Natalie Portman. Often the key to a look is in the details. Case in point, Natalie Portman's Dior cape featured the names of the talented women like Greta Gerwig from Little Women, Lulu Wang from The Farewell, and Lorraine Scafaria, Hustlers, who were snubbed at the 2020 Oscars all-male directing category. And speaking of Natalie Portman, she called out everybody with that outfit. And at the Oscars, the only thing more highly anticipated than the awards was the fashion on the red carpet. And she did not disappoint with that. Natalie Portman, she stood out with this unforgettable choice in attire. Again, her Dior cape was embroidered with the names of the snub women directors in the Best Directed category. Like all the best forms of fashion, Natalie's look made a bold statement beyond just the dress. The black and gold Dior cape has a trail of names sewn in the material. Again, the directors that were snubbed out. When she was asked about the attire on the carpet, Natalie explained, "I wanted to recognize the women who were not recognized for their incredible work in my subtle way." Subtle or not, Natalie's decision to honor the directors rings important and true. This year's Academy Awards marked another year in which female directors were ignored, despite the positive critical reviews of their work. Little Women premiered to overwhelming fanfare. The Farewell won the Independent Spirit Award for Best Feature just Saturday. Honey Boy was emotionally gripping and powerful, and Hustlers brought much needed representation to sex workers. It's been an incredible year for women in Hollywood, and the visions they brought to life, only for them to be ignored once again by the gatekeepers. It's a sad time in entertainment when a garment on the red carpet obnoxious women in Hollywood more than the industry itself. Fortunately, there are advocates like Natalie who will use their voices, her moment at the 2018 Globes, which she did, as well as her attire, to champion them. And as always, there's the hope that the Academy will do better next year. Now, there weren't many surprises when it comes to the statues being handed out at the Oscars on Sunday night, but the audience and viewers at home got a big one when Eminem appeared on stage after a montage of great musical moments to perform his hit, Lose Yourself. For those who don't know, Lose Yourself is from the movie Eight Mile and won Best Original Song at the 2003 Academy Awards, the first rap song ever to do so. Now, if you're asking yourself, why did Eminem suddenly appear to perform this song in 2020? You're in excellent company. Eminem himself gave us a clue as to why he was at the Oscars this year on Twitter, writing, "Look, if you had another shot, another opportunity, thanks for having me at the Academy. Sorry it took me 18 years to get there." He wasn't present for the winning of his award for the 2003 Academy Award for that song, Lose Yourself. But most celebs are saying it was a great performance nonetheless. From dresses to controversy to beautiful makeup at the Oscars, some of the people that they saw as the best red carpet hair and makeup looks, Janelle Monáe. It's hard to compete with a bedazzled hood, but Monáe's bright red lips drew attention right to her face, and as always, her lashes, courtesy of Lashify, were on point. Billie Eilish, we never thought we'd see Eilish in an elegant updo, but we're obsessed. Does it even get cooler than Chanel hair clips that she wore? No. Her signature green roots kept it true to her edgy style, and those nails were to die for, all black with rhinestones at the top. And let's not again forget about the updo hairdo that everybody was talking about. Zazie Beetz, if you needed proof that you can pull off bangs with curly hair, well, look no further. They could not get enough of the gorgeous half up and half classic smoky eyes that she presented. Again, Laura Dern. I mean, when it comes to glowing like she did, it'd be like a serenade by a choir singing praises that night before them. Some true botanical skincare probably helped as well, as her skin was flourishing and shiny and dewy. Cynthia Erivo. Mismatched nails are literally works of art. Seriously, her manicurist, Gina O, recreated many renditions of Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night to symbolize Harriet Tubman's following the North Star to freedom. Florence Pugh, dark roots look extra cool in sharply slicked back updos. Shout out to Dove Micro Mist Hairspray for the firm but not crunchy looking finish. Mindy Kaling. Kaylin Riley strays from her signature neutral makeup, but when it looks this good, why should she? She kept it very sassy with her hair by Blake Eric for Hair Ritual and Cicely Paré makeup by Tryon Marchuzin from Chanel. Margaret Qualley, we're here for this witchy take on a Coachella brand crown. Quayla's glowy skin and barely their eyeshadow kept the hair looking smooth and not costumey. She wore makeup by Hung Vangnu Falacon. Penelope Cruz makes for a French manicure appearance at every major red carpet this season. So, yes, it's officially back. She wore French manicures that look very lovely on her. She also had it chicly paired with the low-key makeup, all Lancome, and a slick blowout. And the Grammys saw tons of celebs match their makeup to their dresses. But for the Oscars, the This Is Us star took to the next level by matching her lips and her nails to her poppy red gown. That was Chrissy Metz. Her hair was done by Marcus Francois. Caitlin Dever. We're never sad to see a cat eye on the red carpet, but the way Dever's liner extends past her inner corner gives it a unique touch, and her makeup was done by Hanaku for 100% pure. Kelly Marie Tran, if you're reading this, we need your skincare routine ASAP. Her hair was done by Bobby Elliott for Suave, so she looked very beautiful. Beanie Feldstein, can we discuss the old Hollywood waves? They're done with drugstore products, especially Suave, for your information. And her makeup was done by Patty Dubrog from Chanel. Hair by Bryce Scarlett from Morocco Knoll. Margot Robbie, of course. Yet again, Robbie is rocking some stellar beach goddess waves on the red carpet, courtesy of her hairstylist, Bryce Scarlett, and hair hydrating styling gel from Moroccan Oil. Red lips are having a moment with Robbie Bold Blue Red Shade Chanel Rouge, Allure Velvet Extreme, and Ideal to be exact, that stood out. Her makeup was done by Jean Stritcher for Giorgio Armani Beauty, hair by John D for Tresemme. And Greta Gerwig, an olive gold smoky eye with petal lipstick seems an unlikely combination, but it's one that works so well with Gerwig's hazel eyes. The secrets to both are Armani Beauty Eyes to Kill Stellar Eyeshadow in 4 and Lip Maestro Liquid Lipstick in 5-1-1. Well, Valentine's Day is Friday, and if you're thinking about some things for Valentine's Day, this article in Glamour talks a little bit more about it, and it's called My Kind of Valentine. Celebrating Valentine's Day can be a radical act. There's nothing braver than professing care for others, no romantic partner needed, by Caitlin Greenwich. I've been single for every Valentine's Day of my life except for 5, and I'm soon to be 40. I'm married now and with a baby, but for the other 30-something Valentine's Days of my life, I don't remember feeling the depression, the dry, drawing anguish that single women are expected to feel on this holiday. It's a cliche of sitcoms, romantic comedies, and bad stand-up that single women harangue about Valentine's Day, making the same speech about greeting card promises and companies and conspiracies to commercialize feelings. I don't know that I've ever had that impulse. I have always loved Valentine's Day and never thought of it as an occasion for romantic dates. It still has the meaning it did in elementary school, the fragile resilience and battered hopefulness of a cardboard heart. This approach came from my mother. She is big on rituals and the celebration of holidays, not for what you can get or what you can buy, but as a way to set the rhythm of the year. After my parents' divorce, life became more unpredictable. We frequently moved and always to smaller and dingier apartments. There were job losses and we lost some of our friends and support networks too. In that instability, the tempo of holidays took on a new importance. They were something I could count on to remain consistent. Before all of that, when I was very young, my mother marked Valentine's Day by giving small gifts to me and my sisters. One of my earliest memories, one of my best of my childhood, was of my mother letting me go to daycare a little bit later one Valentine's Day. It was rare. I'm the youngest of my sisters, and childhood was a blur of rushing to one or another of their music lessons or gymnastic practices for my mother and me to be completely alone together at home. But that morning we were, and she presented me with a box wrapped in red paper, topped with a white bow. When I opened it, inside was a stuffed polar bear cub, a toy that immediately took on a grave significance. I looked at it as if she'd given me a child to look after. "He's yours," she told me. And the specialty of the gift, a Valentine to care for, made this the one of the most cherished toys of my childhood. I still have him. He sits now, raggeded, on top of a dresser in my daughter's bedroom, overlooking her growing library of picture books. Valentine's Day became associated with that present. That way, my mother presented it to me and what the present meant. As a little girl, I associated Valentine's Day with showing appreciation for the people in your life, your siblings, your mother, your friends, your classmates. My mother turned making and buying Valentines for classmates into its own activity every year. And so growing up, my focus was usually on the fun of crafting cards, less on counting how many I received. The idea that receiving one from a classmate wouldn't mean anything romantic was going on. Something reserved for girls on TV, I thought. Here in the real world, it was much better. You gave cards to show you cared about the people around you, and they did the same. In college, it was a little bit harder to maintain such a Pollyannish attitude toward the holiday. But by then, it had become a reliable excuse for parties. I remember becoming obsessed with finding a heart-shaped cookie cutter so I could make red jello hearts. It was a way to bring my mother's ethos about Valentine's Day to campus. Though in typical college student fashion, I impulsively drenched the whole thing in irony. My roommates and I threw an annual party. I could not imagine then, and maybe still don't believe, that a one-on-one date with a boy could ever be as joyous as dancing with an abandonment in the cramped and sweaty living room of some wood frame house. Outcast, happy Valentine's Day blaring. I was away from my mother, trying to break from her ideas, but this one, that Valentine's Day, was not a day to mourn or be angry at the conflict between romantic desires and capitalism endured. Pop culture rails against Valentine's Day in any attempt to sig a degree of some type of thoughtfulness that, while maybe unearned, it is very silly and very blatantly and corporate manipulation that we are expected to use 24 hours in February as a measure of our romantic self-worth. But to hate Valentine's Day, does anyone actually really care so much about it? Feels like an easy out. It's like those early corporate ideas of feminism, which insisted that if women were to either be in professional offices, they must ergo do so by looking and dressing as much like men as possible. It is such a reductionist and closed off critique that I don't know that I ever took it seriously. Which to say, I don't think that acknowledging the falsity of Valentine's Day means we should decide any dedicated day or ritual to caring is unnatural, or that to expand the definition of the day is somehow a second best choice. I have been thinking more and more as our world seems to ramp up towards some very nasty upcoming outcomes of our current political messes, how radical an act it is to profess to care, sure, about yourself, although self-care has been co-opted into this impulse, but also to care about ideas, about how to participate in the world, about how to interact with the people in your daily sphere. There are neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, the people you meet as you go about your daily life. I think this is the only thing that is going to save us. moving forward as our government declares its interest in defending those companies that would harm and poison us, as media insists that opportunities, chances, change are scarce and disappearing, as everything tells us there is so much less in the world, so be mean with what you have. Hold it close, look out for yourself, and make sure you got what is yours. I want my daughter to celebrate Valentine's Day as a rebuke to all of that, that it is a day marked off on a calendar devoted to the beauty of things we are told are frivolous and silly, chocolate and flowers and good smells and nice meals and touch, that it can be a day that insists those things are for all of us and we are each capable of giving and receiving those gifts to each other. No romantic partner needer at all. Caitlin Greenwich is the author of We Love You, Charlie Freeman. And speaking of Valentine's Day, 15 Comfortable Bras Sexy Enough to Wear on Valentine's Day by Erin Park. Whether you plan to get dolled up for a hot date or would rather house Chinese takeout in sweatpants, Valentine's Day is a great excuse to add comfortable bras to your top drawer. But despite the sense of accomplishment you feel when your bra and underwear actually match, lingerie can bring on more hassle than it's worth, thanks to hard-to-figure-out undergarments that squeeze, snap, and pinch in all the wrong places. You won't find those on this list. In an effort to update your intimates collection with functional bras that are also cute enough to wear on Valentine's Day, we ask our editors to share the sexiest, most comfortable bras they own. Ahead, 15 to wear on Valentine's Day or any other day of the year. Cup the balconette. I'm struggling with finding the perfect bra since my boobs grew to a D cup seemingly overnight in a junior year of high school. But I think I finally found it. My boobs aren't huge, but they are big compared with my smaller frame. So I like bras that provide support without calling too much attention to my chest. I love that this one is unlined, so there's no extra bulk, but the mesh is sturdy enough to actually keep my boobs secure, i.e. no pain when I go up or down stairs. Or while my taste is usually more on the frilly side of things, I think how minimal these are and the way they are cut is so flattering and feminine. I have the black for every day, and the leopard print is cute enough for something special without being over the top, especially when paired with the matching undies. And again, these are Bella Satore Beauty Assets C Up for $68. The next one is Scarlet Blue Mix Malconette Bra. I honestly can't tell you the last time I wore a bra with an underwire. The thought of it takes me back to middle school when I discovered ridiculous push-up bras from Victoria's Secret, the bedazzled kind that left your cleavage up near your chin once all was said and done. So when I stepped out of my comfort zone of low-key bralettes for this pretty style from Scarlet Blue, I was so pleasantly surprised. I think I've been converted back to the real bra wear community now, because this one is so lightweight, comfortable, and cute, and warm tan hue matches my skin perfectly. Plus, it's much more affordable than it looks. It is at Nordstrom's, and it's a Scarlet Blue Mix Balconette Bra. Lonely Label Lulu Underwire Bra. I know it looks like it could be uncomfortable, an uncomfortable bra because of the name, underwire and six bust straps, but believe me, it is one of the comfiest ones I own. The straps, yes, all of them are thick and supportive, but incredibly soft and flexible. I barely notice they sit right up under my chest. Lonely Label says this bra is great option for larger cups, but I have it in a B and it fits so well I fall asleep in it. Again, this is Lonely Label Lulu Underwire Bra. And that is $110, Lonely Label. The next one is Notori Feathers Bra Basics. This one was first in Glamour article citing it as many wonders, and it is the most comfortable bra. Plus, it fits under your t-shirts and tops without annoying bra lines. And just because it's practical, it doesn't mean it's not sexy. The deep neckline and lace trim add that extra oomph, not to mention the added confidence you feel while wearing it. That is Notori for $68, the Notori Feathers Bra Basic. Third Love 24/7 Lace Balconette Bra. It is a 3D love for consistency in sizing. Anyone from 32s, D, double D, to a smaller size, which is a hard bra size to find in most stores with the double D's. But they come in almost all the stocks. The lace option is almost as comfy as they come. It's cute and works for every day. And again, that is Third Love 24/7 Lace Balconette Bra. And that is $76. Another, and that is all our sexy bras, I believe. Yes, that is. No, that's not all our sexy bras. We have another one. It's called the Flat As They Come. And finally figure out how to shop for that bra, Flat As It Comes. A size, size, as you can see, Flat As It Comes is size A on up. It's a courtesy Savage by Fenty online mesh bra that is good for any size boobs, and especially for those women who have small boobs. Also, Prima Donna Balcony Vertical Seam Jungle Bra. You can get it for $194. It's a great one for your boobs. Basic bra to keep your boobs in place no matter what your weight. It's a push-up bra. Also, True Lingerie Soft Lace Online Balconette Bra. It is at True & Company for $64. It makes you feel like a lady, gives you the support and need as large-chested ladies will often need. Also, Love Stories Lace and Leopard Print Stretch Jersey Bralette. Love Stories, a few years ago, was made in Belgium. The brand is actually from the Netherlands, and it makes the cutest mix-match lingerie. Silk floral and leopard prints, tiny bows, satin inserts, and barely their lace in fun colors and different sizes. Its bras also is perfect for people who prefer bralettes over the more traditional full coverage style. Also, Ariel Real Power Eyelash Lace Plunge Push Up Bra. That's a mouthful. Ari makes some of the most comfortable bras. These plunge push-up bra is great for going out, but it's still comfortable all night long. It's also versatile and can be worn as a razorback. It is Ari's, and it's for $42. Those are some of the bras you can look forward to for Valentine's Day or any other day of your choice. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to tune in every Thursday. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, also known formerly as Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. See you next time on the radio.